Tom woke Harry the next morning with his usual toothless grin and a cup of tea. Harry got dressed and was just persuading a disgruntled Hedwig to get back into her cage when Ron banged his way into the room, pulling a sweatshirt over his head and looking irritable. Welcome to Potter Chat. My name's Arius.
And my name's Isabel.
And we are a father-daughter team going through the entire Harry Potter series, chapter by chapter,
book by book,
movie by movie,
scene by scene.
I've gone through the whole series countless times.
I've gone through the series once, and this is my second time going through it.
And if this is your first time through the series, don't worry.
We won't spoil anything for you.
But beware, there may be tangents and other random silliness ahead.
But don't worry, we always find our way back to Harry Potter.
Moving right along.
Make sure you read or listen to each chapter before you listen to the episode.
So sit back and listen.
Strap on your running shoes.
Or buckle up and drive safely.
Or get out your rags and spray.
And enjoy this episode of
Potter Chat. Okay, wait, quick question. Tom is leaking...
The toothless walnut.
Okay, making sure.
Yes, Tom the toothless walnut. So that's really my first note of the chapter is that he was woken up... Tom woke up Harry with his usual toothless grin.
Yeah, I just had to make sure that Tom was who I was thinking.
Yeah. So... you've stayed in a few hotels. Have you ever had a wake-up call?
No. I mean, unless you count you guys.
No,
Do parents count?
No, it doesn't. So actually, now that I think of it, I don't know if they even offer that anymore. It used to, so a wake-up call, someone from the front desk would actually call the phone in your room to wake you up at a certain time.
So it's quite literally a wake-up call.
Right. It was a call, yes. And now with everybody having cell phones and alarms on their phones, I don't know if they even do that anymore.
It would be kind of cool if they did.
So, listeners, we are going to ask you, if you have stayed in a hotel recently and actually gotten a wake-up call, let us know, because we don't know if that's actually a thing anymore. I've never actually used that service, but I've heard of it, and I've seen it in movies, but I've never actually done it. So, anyways, okay. So, here we go, Isabel. Episode 46.
That's a lot of episodes and chapters, I suppose.
But yeah, it's a lot of
episodes.
46 already. So chapter 5 of Prisoner of Azkaban.
Book 3.
Which is book 3.
Dementor. I was clarifying which book number it was.
Yes, because I don't think anybody else realized that.
Well, you never know. Someone could be playing this episode in their car, and they could have a friend who doesn't know anything about Harry Potter.
That is very possible. You're right.
So you never know. It's always good to clarify.
All right. So it's a little bit of a longer chapter, but I feel like not a whole lot happens.
It's like 20 pages in my big old book.
Yeah, it's something like that with a small book. But do you think you could summarize this in less than... a minute, less than 30 seconds?
Let me glance through the chapter real quick again.
Okay, well, you glance through the chapter, because I just listened to this chapter again today.
Yeah, you see, you listened to it. I read it, and it took me half an hour to read.
So if you are listening to it on Audible, I think the chapter is like 46 minutes.
Oh, dang.
I'm pretty sure.
But didn't you also read it at like 2 speed or something like that?
No, only 1.5 times speed.
only off by a half speed.
Yeah, it's like 46 minutes, but it's, well, let's see. I can summarize it pretty quickly. It's Harry wakes up at the Leaky Cauldron. They get on the Hogwarts Express. There is a teacher in their room on the train. It comes to a stop. A Dementor comes in. Harry passes out. They get to school. Draco makes fun of him. And there's two new teachers. The end.
And one of the teachers is Hagrid.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the major points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry's sneakoscope also goes off. That's kind of major. Kind of. Can be.
Well, they don't really get into it. I mean, they mention it.
Ron also said that it went off when he was sending it to Harry. So.
Right.
But he also said it was cheap. So.
That's true. So it might not be a very good one. Okay. So let's get into this. And we're gonna try something new for this episode. We have no idea how this is going to turn out because these are not rehearsed, in case you couldn't tell.
No, not rehearsed whatsoever.
Not at all.
We press record and we just start rambling about stuff.
Yes. We do at least read or listen to the chapter before we start.
Yeah.
So it's fresh in our minds.
I finished the chapter about 2 minutes before we press record.
Yep, I finished listening to it about an hour before. Half hour before. I don't know. Something like that.
Half hour. You walked in when you finished it.
That's true.
I heard you finish it. I heard the last 5 sentences of the chapter.
That's right. Okay. So that was half hour ago. Okay. So here we go. Let's get into this. Oh, yeah. So what we're trying to do. I never even got to that point because we got sidetracked already. That didn't take long. All right. What we're going to try and do is be a little more concise, maybe not dive quite as deeply into every single little point. Maybe make the episode a little shorter, but...
try to,
hopefully. I feel like we tried to do this once before and it ended up being our longest episode ever or something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes.
I think that might have been... I can't remember when that was, but I do vaguely remember.
All right, so let's get into this. So Harry is at the Leaky Cauldron. The Weasleys are there, and Hermione is there, and it's the night before. Well, no, now it's the morning.
It's the day that they leave for Hogwarts.
Right, yeah. Which would be September 1st, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the day school started this past year.
Right. So they get up and let's see, we've already figured out that Percy's going to be head boy. And so Ron is a bit irritated because Percy keeps accusing him of stuff like dripping tea on the picture of his girlfriend. And yeah, all this other stuff before
Percy, that. Are you sure that wasn't just you drooling? I mean, you never know.
You said it, not me. Okay, moving right along. my goodness.
What? I had to bring it up.
No comment. Okay, moving right along.
That's what I thought as I was reading it.
Right, so Fred and George have been doing things to irritate Percy, and Percy keeps blaming Ron for that, which is kind of funny.
Poor Ron, but not really.
Yeah. Let's see. So they're going down to breakfast. All their trunks are piled up by the door, along with Hedwig and Hermes, which is Percy's screech owl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Hermione has Crookshanks, and of course Ron doesn't want her to set her down because he thinks that Crookshanks will go after Scabbers again, which, you know, he probably would. Mr. Weasley, who is outside waiting for the ministry cars, because remember they're getting cars from the ministry to take them from the Leaky Cauldron to King's Cross.
Yeah. I think it's kind of weird that the ministry has cars. Like, I wouldn't think that they would. I don't even know if wizards learn how to drive. Like, is that a thing? Like, do they go to driving school?
No. Question mark?
Then how do they know how to drive?
They probably just enchant it to drive itself or
But what if something? They get pulled over and ask for and
then they do
ask for a license.
Then they do a memory charm or a confusion charm or Something like
Obliviate.
That. Maybe that not that one. Maybe they funny. Do, what is it? Confundus?
Yeah, Confundus is the confusion charm. Charm. So. Charm. Oh my goodness.
Right. But I would think for the most part, they don't really use them much at all.
They probably use them only when they have to.
Right, because they have much better ways of getting around.
They have brooms. They got flu powder.
Right. So, okay. So it's two old-fashioned dark green cars, which, of course, are old. Kind of funny. So the journey to King's Cross, it's uneventful. Harry thinks that it's almost ordinary. And I mean, the only thing about that is that it seems like the cars can slide through gaps that most cars couldn't.
They definitely, like the night bus.
Yeah, kind of like the night bus. So anyways, they get to King's Cross,
maybe what they do is they use whatever they use on the night bus, kind of. Where, like, it can, like, change sizes and whatnot.
Right.
And, like, it can't be seen to muggles. Like, muggles can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably something like that. All right. So they get to King's Cross, and Mr. Weasley seems to be staying awfully close to Harry.
Harry's elbow.
Yeah. So now when they're going to go through the...
Wall.
Yes,
that's easiest way to put it.
Right, the barrier. There we go. Mr. Weasley says
the wall.
Says they're going to go through in pairs, which that's kind of a good idea, especially after what happened in last book.
Like, yeah.
Why didn't they do that before? Anyways.
And they should have one parent go in front and one parent go last.
Yes. That would have solved a lot of problems from last book, but we're not going to go through that again. Okay, so they go through... the only note I have here is that as they're right before they're at the barrier, Mr. Weasley is pushing Harry's trolley and I'm apparently very interested in the Intercity 125.
That just arrived at arrived at platform 9.
Yeah, that was just a strange detail. That was in there. So the Intercity 125, is that actually a real train that would...
I don't know. I've never been to London.
So I think we need to take a break here, Isabel, and talk to somebody who lives in London about trains.
Yes. Which person are we going to talk to?
Yes.
Got it.
This is the part of the show where we talk to someone who is British to help us understand all things British, because we are not British.
So the Intercity 125 is actually a type of locomotive, right? So it's not the name of a train. It's actually the name of a locomotive. So it's a kind of locomotive, and it's a pretty standard... Intercity 125. It's a pretty classic British locomotive.
This has been the part of the show where we talk to someone who is British about all things British, because we are not British. Okay, so there we go. Now we know a little bit more about the trains coming into King's Cross Station.
Yes.
Okay. So once I get through the barrier, Percy and Ginny are the next ones in. And of course, when Percy sees Penelope, he runs off to her.
Oh, there's Penelope.
Yeah. And Harry and Ginny kind of catch each other's eye and they turn away to hide their laughter.
As Percy strode over to a girl with long curly hair.
Yep.
Walking with his chest thrown out so that she couldn't miss his shiny badge.
Of course.
That is... definitely Percy.
Yeah. All right. So they get to the end of the train to a carriage that looks pretty much empty. They put all their stuff in. Mrs. Weasley is kissing all the kids goodbye. And then Hermione and then Harry. So the one part I have highlighted in here is that he was embarrassed, but really quite pleased when she gave him an extra hug.
Aww.
Yep. So... She did make sandwiches for them, and the one she made for Ron said, she said that no, they're not corned beef, because that was the first book where she made him a corned beef sandwich, and he said he didn't like them. So she remembered.
Fred?
And
where's Fred?
Did that.
Here. Oh, dear. Here you are.
So then Mr. Weasley pulls Harry aside, and he wants to start telling him something. Of course, Harry already knows what he's trying to say because he overheard the conversation between him and Molly last night. So so he does tell them, you know, that he already knows. And Mr. Weasley tells him not to be scared. And Harry's like, I'm not. I mean,
he can't be much worse than Voldemort, can he?
Right.
Like that. That's pretty much what he says.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... pretty much what he says there. So, but the one thing that Mr. Weasley leaves him with is that he wants him to swear that he won't go looking for Black. And Harry's like,
who would go looking for a guy who is trying to murder you?
Right. He's so confused by that. And at this point in the book, the first time going through this, I was too. I'm like, okay, so some crazy guy who just escaped prison, and we know he's trying to kill Harry. Why on earth would Harry go looking for him? This doesn't make any sense. So Harry's very confused. First time I read this, I was confused. But then the train is leaving. So
they're closing the doors and Harry has to run.
So Harry, of course, wants to talk to Ron and Hermione in private.
Ron, so they shoo Ginny away.
Yeah, yeah,
poor
Ron.
Poor Ginny.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it. If you had a... sibling that was just 1 year younger than you and your two friends want to talk to you, you would probably do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but still, it's Ginny. We love Ginny.
Yes.
Ginny's my favorite Weasley. Mainly because she's the only girl.
Okay. All right. So they go into the compartment at the very end of the train. There's only one person in there and it's a man.
A man.
Yeah. A full-grown man. Which is strange because we've never heard of any adult on the train other than like the trolley lady who comes around. There's never been any
adult on the train.
Passengers.
Yeah.
So,
well, is the trolley lady really a passenger?
No, she's not. She's a worker. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. There's never been a passenger that's an adult.
Okay.
So anyways, but he's there, but he's sleeping. So.
And his name is Professor R.J. Lupin.
And Ron's like, how do you know that?
It's on his case.
Yes. So, yeah, so that is stamped on his case, and one corner of it is peeling.
What do you mean by stamped on? And mine says it's...
What does yours say? Because this one says, the name Professor R.J. Lupin was stamped across one corner peeling letters.
Yeah, never mind. I read it. I mixed two lines together.
Okay, so Ron's wondering what he teaches, and Hermione's like, well, it's obvious there's only one vacancy, which is Defense Kids of the Dark Arts. So,
which is seemingly Jinx, or seems to be Jinxed.
Yes, there's rumors that that job is Jinxed. Well, this is their third year. It'll be their third teacher in that class. So
each year they get a new teacher.
Right. It does kind of seem like that. So Harry explains about the argument that the Weasleys had the night before. Ron, of course, is shocked. Well, they both are. And Hermione's like, Sirius Black escaped to come after you?
Whoa.
And then she says, don't go looking for trouble, Harry. And Harry's like, I don't. Trouble finds me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of true.
Yep.
But yeah, both Ron and Hermione seem to be much more frightened of Black than he is. I mean, it's like, okay, it's some crazy guy, but whatever.
Going
to Hogwarts, that's where it's going to be safe. So why would I be scared?
Well, did either Hermione or Ron actually come in contact with Voldemort?
Ooh, that's a really good point. No, they did not.
So
that's part of the reason why he's not scared.
Yeah. He's come in contact with Voldemort and lived. Both Voldemort on the back of a professor's head and young
Tom Riddle.
Yeah.
And the basilisk.
Timothy Riddle.
Yes, Timothy.
Oh, Thomas. Yeah.
Timothy.
I said Timothy. My bad.
Isabel.
Yeah.
You said for the rest of the series, you were only going to refer to him as Timothy, and he failed.
He is Timothy. He's Timothy. Ooh, I just accidentally said Timothy rather than Timothy.
That was kind of funny.
Well, it's so, because at camp, we were talking about someone named Timothy for some reason. It was weird. Have Timothy in my head and not Timothy.
Okay. All right.
So that doesn't count.
So part of the reason Ron says he's scared of him is because, you know, nobody's actually escaped from Azkaban. It's a top security prison, and he somehow figured out how to do it. So
he's just special.
Yeah. So all of a sudden they start hearing some noise, a faint, tinny sort of whistle. Ron says it's coming from Harry's trunk, and it's the pocket sneakoscope.
Why would he have it in his trunk in his pocket?
Well, you can only carry so much stuff in your pocket. I wouldn't want...
Well, what does he have in his pockets then?
His wand? Maybe? I don't know. Or maybe he doesn't want anything in there? Who knows? Anyway, so it's in there.
Maybe he just doesn't have pockets on today.
Doesn't have pockets on?
Well, yeah. doesn't have any clothing with pockets on.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. Well, I'm picturing like a pocket that you strap on to yourself like a belt or
that's kind of what a fanny pack is.
Yeah, it's basically what that is.
It's a pocket that you strap onto yourself.
Right. Yeah. That okay.
What?
I just went off on this weird rabbit hole in my own brain about fanny packs and how they're called different things in different countries.
Oh, really?
Are they called fanny packs in the UK? That's what I'd like to know. Because I know in Australia, they are not. They're called, I don't know what they're called. Because the word fanny in Australia refers to something different.
Oh. What does fanny even mean in the US? I don't even know what it means. I just know that a fanny pack you strap onto yourself.
Right. The word's not really used that much anymore, but it's another word for your backside.
Oh. Fanny packs used to go like on your back? Well, like the pocket part used to go on your back?
Well, you twist it around.
That's so weird.
Well, then when you need to use it, then you twist it back around to the front and then you can...
It just makes so much more sense to just keep it in front or on the side where you still have access to it.
Yeah.
Or like you could...
Well, I wouldn't want it on the side because...
Well...
You know, sometimes I have my phone strapped on the side or the clipped onto the side and then...
You have the special phone clips, so you're special.
Right. But I'm saying having it on the side, I've bumped into things and bumped my phone on that. So... I can understand not wanting it on the side. But anyways, let's get...
Well, unless you have like one of the flat ones that like if that could like fit under your shirt that...
Like, weren't we talking about...
pockets.
That's how we got here. Holy cow. This is the part of the show where we talk to someone who is British to help us understand all things British because we are not British. Fanny packs, which I'm sure you're familiar with, right?
Mm.
Okay, so that's what we call it here in America. Mm. I know at least in Australia, that word means something very different than what it means here in the US. Is it the same by you?
Yes, it does. And so here it would be called a bum bag.
Okay, I will not call it that when I come over.
No, and I wouldn't go around, you could get away with fannying about, no, I wouldn't use fanny in polite company.
Gotcha.
Unless you knew someone really, really well.
This has been the part of the show where we talk to someone who is British about all things British, because we are not British. Moving right along. Oh my goodness. I thought we were going to try and make this shorter.
Well, we'll already...
A couple pages in. Okay, so it's a Sinecoscope, and it's starting to make four noise. Pages in. Ron says it's a cheap one, and it went haywire as he's trying to put it on Errol's leg to send it to Harry. We're not even getting into that because we did that back in episode 42. Chapter one, not talking about owls and sending gifts and post-owl offices, etc. If you want to hear all about that, if you want to hear way too much about owls, you can go back to episode 42, which was chapter one of this book, and we talk about it way too much.
And we renamed the chapter Too Much Owl Talk.
Well, we renamed the episode.
Oh, episode that. Yes. What did we rename the chapter?
I don't know. Post-owl office... Something, I don't know.
Okay.
Go back and listen.
Well, I said I was going to.
Okay. Ron was saying that the Sinecoscope was going off when he was putting it on to Errol, and Hermione asked if he was doing anything untrustworthy at the time, and Ron did say that, well, I wasn't really supposed to be using Errol for that because Errol is not really up to long journeys.
Which, poor Errol.
Again, not getting into that. So they put it back in the trunk, and then Ron starts talking about how they could get it checked out in Hogsmeade, and Hermione brings up that it's the only entirely non-Muggle settlement
in Britain.
Not sediment.
Settlement.
Yes, that's the word.
In Britain.
Right. Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron wants to go into Honeydukes, which is the sweet shop, and he starts naming all these different ones. So at this point, Harry is kind of sad.
Oh.
Sad slash mad slash...
probably irritated.
Irritated, yeah. Because he says that, you know, you'll have to tell me all about it because he can't go. Because the Dursleys didn't sign the permission form, and Fudge wouldn't either. And Ron looks horrified. And, well, McGonagall will sign it, won't. And they're like, I don't think so. So
yeah, probably not.
Yeah, then they're thinking, well, they could ask Fred and George because they know every single secret passageway out of the castle. And, of course, Hermione's saying, well, you know, Harry shouldn't be sneaking out because Black is on the loose, blah, blah, blah.
Harry will be fine.
Yes.
If he can defend himself against Voldemort, the greatest wizard of all time, supposedly, I think he can handle...
Wait, hold on.
I said pause. I said supposedly.
Did you just say supposedly that like, Tomothy is the greatest wizard of all time?
Not like the
greatest... Is that what you just said? No. Okay. Is that what you said?
Yes, but let me explain what I was thinking. Like...
I'm shocked.
Not like Dumbledore great. What? Like great what? As in what? More, what? Like most powerful.
What? Oh my God. Isabel.
Like, yes. What? Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time.
Now you're just completely contradicting what you said 2 minutes ago.
Listen.
I'm trying.
Listen, Linda. Linda, listen.
I'm sorry if you don't know what we're talking about.
Look it up.
Actually, okay, continue. So, what are you trying to tell me? Because I'm confused.
Okay. So Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time.
The greatest what?
Let me start this over.
I'm not hanging this out, by the way. This is staying in. So Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time?
Okay, hold on.
How do we have listeners? Seriously,
stop talking.
Which we do appreciate you listening.
Dad, stop talking. Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time, as in like greatness wise. Like he's great. He's fantastic. He's amazing. Like that kind of great.
Okay, agreed.
Voldemort when I said greatest, I meant like most powerful. That's why I said supposedly.
I think greatest, like biggest, kind of, I don't know, I think I see what you're trying to get at. I don't necessarily agree, or maybe that's why I said supposedly, because that's what people have said about him. Okay,
like people have said that he's like more powerful than Dumbledore and stuff like that.
Okay, maybe it's just kind of the way you're explaining it, but yeah, yes, people have said that he's more powerful and blah blah blah.
Yeah, so, that's what I was getting at.
That makes a little more sense, but moving
like,
right along.
Greatest, as in like a
I don't even remember what we were talking about. That
because we were talking about how Hermione was saying it wasn't a good idea for Harry to sneak around because of Sirius Black.
Okay, yep.
But he's faced Voldemort. He'll be fine.
And then Hermione lets Crookshanks
out.
And yeah, and then Scabbers starts trembling in Ron's pocket. And
that sucks.
Yeah.
Cats are better than rats.
Yeah, I agree. As much, on the one hand, I agree with Ron. I would be pretty upset if I had some sort of pet animal and then one of my friends gets a pet, which is the natural
enemy
of my pet.
Enemy slash predator, kind of.
Right. Yeah, so I kind of get that, but at the same time, I'm not a fan of rats at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving right along.
We saw subway rats in New York.
That was fun. Disgusting, and at 1 o'clock, the plump witch with the food cart arrived at the compartment door.
Food trolley.
That's not what it says here.
That's what my book says.
What? Really?
It says... At 1 o'clock, the plump witch with the food trolley arrived at the compartment door.
This says food cart.
Trolley sounds better.
Oh, I agree. It sounds much better, but...
It sounds more British.
Huh. Yeah, lots of things in your version are quite British, which but I like it better.
But there were a few things that were American in my book, but British in yours.
So it is quite strange how the...
It's like they combined the... Two books together and added pictures to mine.
Yep. So I actually kind of like that better because it has more of the British stuff, but not everything is completely British.
Yeah. Is yours the British version?
No. I have the American version.
Okay.
I think I might have... No, I don't have the British versions of any. I think first one that I read...
Are those ones Mom's or yours?
Mom's.
Okay. I think, are hers the British version?
No. It's all American.
Oh. That's lame.
Well, look at book number one. It says Sorcerer's Stone.
I can't read that.
This is really great content. We're talking about something that even the people on video can't see because it's completely off screen. It's over there. We have the set of hardback
books. She's got marks in it. Is that from you?
That's probably mine, yeah.
Yep, that's yours.
So when we did season one, it was... yeah, season one, we were using the hardback version. And after that, I actually found on Facebook Marketplace the entire set of paperbacks for like a really good price. So we actually got those, and that's what we use for the podcast. So now I can actually...
Yep, it says printed in USA.
Yep. I can just highlight in here and take notes, whatever, and we don't have to worry about that.
I got my special.
Back to the story. The trolley witch, or the plump witch with the food cart / trolley.
Trolley.
Right. So ask if... they want anything, and Hermione asks if they should wake up the professor, and the witch says, don't worry about it. If he's hungry, she will be up front with the driver. So
So they actually have someone driving the train. It's not Bewitched.
Yeah, that was the one thing impressive. I was going to point out there.
Now, is that, I would assume that that's a wizard or witch, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's got to be because they're going to, well, they're going to Hogsmeade Station, which is right outside of
Hogwarts.
So, yeah, it has to be a wizard or witch.
Because we don't know their gender, but
right.
Which, it just says it driver. Matter,
but okay. So there were some good parts about being in the same compartment as Lupin, because when the bullies come up, they're trying to start, well, a fight, basically. And
Malfoy's like, who's that?
Right. And once they figure out it's a teacher, then, of course, Malfoy won't pick a fight right
Malfoy
in front of the
teacher. Malfoy backs off.
Yes. So that's definitely a plus.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe they should always have, like, one teacher on the train for that exact reason.
That's not a bad idea.
Just, like, walking around the train it from compartment kind of, to compartment.
It is kind of strange when you actually think about it. It's all the kids from the school on a train with no adult supervision whatsoever. How on earth is there not more fights and other just mischief stuff that happens on the train?
Maybe there is, because we're always only in the compartment of the Golden Trio.
Yeah, I guess there could be more, but you would think we would hear about it at least.
Well, not if it's like from people from other houses, like especially from like Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw, because we don't hear about people from them very often.
Right. So, just interesting to think of. I never thought about it quite like that.
I feel like we hear more of Ravenclaw than Hufflepuff. I feel like Hufflepuff is left out the most, at least in the beginning few books.
What do we really hear about Ravenclaw in the first couple books?
Not much, but
yeah, we don't hear really. So in the first, at least to this point in the series, book one, book two, and the first 4.5 chapters of book five, we've heard almost nothing about Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff. We know those are the other two houses.
And that apparently it's not good to be in Hufflepuff.
Oh, right. Yeah, from the first book. Well, I guess they did have double herbology with the Hufflepuffs, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because a couple of them thought he was the heir of Slytherin and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they had double herbology with Hufflepuff and then double potions with Slytherin, I think, at one point.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that was both last book.
Does having double classes mean they have that class twice in a day? Or like twice a semester or something? So
we figured this out last time because we thought it was... yeah. So what we thought it was is that it was just that it's two different groups in the same class. Like the double potions. We thought it was called double potions just because it was Gryffindor and Slytherin. And then somebody wrote to us or messaged us or told us, I don't remember who it was, that is a real thing and it's like a double. So say a normal class is 1 hour. If it's double potions, it's like a 2 hour class.
Oh, so
I think that's how it worked.
So like at my middle school, if I had, say, like, double life readiness. Instead of it being 50 minutes, it would be 100 minutes.
Right.
Okay. Or, like, double band, which would be amazing. It would be 64 minutes, not 32.
Right. Yeah. I could have that wrong, but I thought that's what it was. And if we're wrong again, somebody will let us know. And
please.
But by the time this is released, I will have forgotten that I even said it.
Yeah, probably.
But that's okay. All right, moving right along. We do love when people actually correct us or tell us stuff that we got wrong, which I guess is correcting. And if you want to correct that statement, that's fine too.
Just as long as you do it in a polite way, go ahead and correct us all you want.
Yes. We do love feedback from listeners, whether it's telling us stuff that we don't know. Because we do have a lot of questions. That's kind of half of what we're doing is we've got lots of questions. So, okay.
Anywho.
Moving right along.
Neville comes into the
right
compartment. Right?
Yet. No. So... Oh. It's a little bit later in the day because now it's starting to get dark. Let's see, there's rain now, and all of a sudden the lanterns start flickering and we start stopping. The train starts stopping. So Ron thinks that they are there already.
Nearly
at
there.
School, but they're not because it's still a little too early. Hermione checks her watch. So still early, but they're stopping and they're very confused. And then it stops completely and then all the lamps go out. So it's total darkness.
Wizards use everybody, watches.
Well, Hermione does because she's Muggle-born.
Yeah, that's true.
Does anyone else use a watch? We never hear a mention of a watch. I think this is the only time. At least the only one I remember.
I don't think so.
I think there is another very important watch that comes up later that we won't talk about. So let's just move on from that. What?
Have we heard of people using pocket watches? Because I don't think we've heard of a wrist watch.
Maybe.
I think people have used pocket watches, though. Because I know, one of the Dursleys have a wrist watch?
I don't remember.
I think in one of the pictures that's
somewhere one of the Dursleys. We don't really care
one
about
of the
them,
Dursleys so. Have a watch.
Anyway, so let's set the scene here. It is now dark outside. It's raining. The train has just stopped. All the lights have gone out in the train. And it's mass confusion. All of a sudden, Neville comes in. And
this is where Neville comes in.
Yes, this is where Neville comes in. They ask him if he knows what's going on. Of course, he doesn't.
Neville never knows what's going on. He's just kind of there and does what he's told.
Right, pretty much. So, and now it's more confusion. Professor Lupin has woken up.
He is alive. He has not died.
Yes. And he is now there's a little bit of light in the compartment because Professor Lupin appeared to be holding a handful of flames.
Oh, I got a cool picture
there
of that.
There is a really cool picture in the illustrative version. And for podcast listeners, I apologize, you cannot see it. But if you are a patron, can't.
I'm trying to.
If you are a patron, you can see the video. It's a pretty cool picture. So. The door slides open and all of a sudden there's this dark cloaked figure, its face is hidden beneath its hood. All of a sudden it seems to get cold. There's long, slow rattling.
Oh, Ginny's also in the compartment.
Oh yes. Ginny came back in as well.
She was never in there to begin with.
Oh, that's right. They told her to get lost before they went in. Anyways, so this one line, the cold went deeper than his skin.
We're talking about Harry here.
Harry, yes, of course, Harry. It was inside his chest. It was inside his very heart.
Ugh, that's scary. Yeah.
Like he's drowning in cold. So then Harry hears these screams, terrible, terrified, pleading screams.
Huh.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he hears someone saying, Harry, Harry, are you all right? And somebody's slapping his face.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's Ron.
Yeah. So.
It never says who was slapping his face.
No, I guess it doesn't. But yeah, by
I'm assuming it's Ron.
So now when he opens his eyes, the lanterns are back on, the floor is shaking, the train's moving. Ron and Hermione are kneeling next to him. So yeah, it was probably one of those two.
Probably Ron.
Right.
Seems like a Ron thing to do.
Neville and Lupin are still in there. So yeah, Harry's very confused. And at this point, you know, obviously as the reader, we're confused too. Harry's asking what happened, who was screaming. And of course they tell him nobody was screaming. Both Ginny and Neville look back at him and they are both very pale.
Ginny looks how Harry feels.
Yeah.
She's so shivering and quietly Professor sobbing.
Professor Lupin gives him a piece of chocolate and says, eat it, it'll help. So Harry takes the chocolate and doesn't eat it.
He just kind of sits there and right, looks at it.
Right, he's just holding it. He asks what it is. So they find out it is a Dementor, one of the Dementors of Azkaban.
Demeter.
So Lupin tells him to eat it and again, and he needs to go up to the driver. So Harry's asking what happened because he's still confused. Ron tells him that he kind of went rigid and fell off his seat.
And he was twitching on the floor.
Yeah. And then Lupin tells the Dementor that nobody is hiding Sirius Black under their cloaks. Go away. The Dementor didn't. So Lupin muttered something and something silvery shot out of his wand and then it went away. So they all talked about how they felt cold. Ron said it felt weird, like he'd never be cheerful again. And yeah, this is where it says Ginny looked nearly as bad as Harry felt. And she gave a small sob. So Harry's the only one that fell off his seat. Then Lupin comes back and tells Harry to eat it. And I haven't poisoned that chocolate, you know. So by the time he actually takes a bite, he does actually feel much better.
He feels warm.
Yep. A warmth spread suddenly to the tips of his fingers and toes.
Yep.
So that's pretty much it for the train ride. They get to Hogsmeade Station. They hear Hagrid saying, first years this way. There's at least 100 stagecoaches and there's no, they can't see any horses that are pulling it. So Harry assumes it's an invisible horse.
How many people would fit in a coach? A stagecoach? I think they say,
well, in these ones, they say four.
Oh,
okay. At least that's how many come in. Cause it's Harry, Ron, Hermione. That's only three. I thought they had a fourth person in there. Maybe I'm thinking of a different one. Yeah, but I guess it's just three. So as they go through the gates, there's two more Dementors. And yeah, Harry's kind of nervous because he doesn't want to have that same thing happen. So, of course, as they get out, they hear Malfoy, of course, making fun of him. You fainted, Potter? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Did you faint too, Weasley?
And
Weasley?
No, yes.
Did you faint as well, Weasley?
I didn't have that highlighted. So
I don't have anything highlighted in my special book.
That's good. You should not be highlighting that one. But
no.
I got this one special, so I could. Shove off, Malfoy. That's what Ron tells him.
Yes.
Right. So as this is going on, all of a sudden someone says, is there a problem? Which it's Professor Lupin.
Professor Lupin seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, he seems like it so far.
I would want to be his friend. Yeah.
Well, we don't know much about him yet.
But so far, I feel like I would want to be his friend.
Yeah.
Especially since he knows stuff.
Right. So before they can get into the Great Hall, McGonagall calls Potter and Granger. And of course, they're looking worried because, well, when they get called to a teacher's office, it's usually not a good thing. So once they get up there, look at this. Professor Lupin sent an owl ahead to say you were taken ill on the train, Potter. Yep. So owls can travel faster than trains.
Well, I suppose it depends on what type of owl.
And I guess it depends on how close the owl was to the nearest post owl office.
Well, I mean, oh, and well, think about it. Once the train arrived at the station, they also had to get their stuff off the train. The stuff that they had with them, they had to get that off the train. They had to get onto the carriages. They had to take the carriages to the castle, and then they had to get in the castle.
That's true.
So there's so four things.
It really doesn't say where or when he sent the owl. He could have done it right from the train station as they arrived, and then it would have gotten there easily before. So it doesn't actually say it sent us from the train. Because if he sent from the train, I mean, trains travel, what, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour?
Probably closer to 70. But I don't know. I've never been on a train.
Well, in this, it is a steam engine. It's not one of like the high-speed rails that you see places. So it's probably 50, 60 miles an hour, something like that. And a typical owl does not fly nearly that fast. I think they're like 20, 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So if he sent it from the train, then he would have to go to the post owl office, closest one, to get... Yeah, all right, we're not getting back into that. Okay, anyways, Madame Pomfrey comes in and she says, I suppose you've been doing something dangerous again.
It was a Dementor, which, Poppy.
Giving the last two books, I can see why she says that. But
Poppy Pomfrey. That's a cool name, actually.
Was that her real name, or is that just a nickname? Or I don't know. Because it's Pomfrey. Is it Poppy really her first name?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I guess it probably is, because they don't really do nicknames. At least teachers don't to each other.
Mm-mm.
So, okay.
Well, even at my school, teachers, unless they're talking to students, they typically call other teachers by their when it's teacher to teacher, they call other teachers by their first name.
Right.
But if they're talking to students, they'll say like Mr., Mrs., or Miss, right, whatever.
Okay. So they want to take Harry back to the hospital wing, spend the night. Of course, Harry is insisting that he's fine.
He doesn't want Malfoy to think he's weak.
Right. Which I kind of get that. You don't want to give bullies any more fuel than they already have.
You don't want to give the bullies the upper hand.
Right. So Madame Pomfrey says he should at least have some chocolate, and Harry
is, I already did.
Right. And Madame Pomfrey is surprised, and she says, oh, we finally have a defense against the dark arts teacher who knows his remedies. What a nice change. Okay. So then
compared to the last one. Yes,
Harry steps outside. Hermione talks to McGonagall about her schedule. And then when they go down to the Great Hall together, it was a sea of pointed black hats. I have that highlighted. I'm going to underline this. Yep, pointed black hats. A sea of pointed black hats. The only reason I keep bringing this up is because once we get to the movie episode, I will have a lot to say about this. But for now, I just want to point out it is a sea of pointed black hats.
What? I think it was in the first movie, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it in the second one?
No.
I honestly don't remember the third one. I don't remember the beginning of the third movie. Well, I remember part of the beginning.
Let's just pause it. We're not getting into it now because it'll be, we'll just leave it at that.
I honestly don't remember.
I just want to point out that that's what it says. AC of
it's mirrored, Dad.
Hats. No, it isn't. Look at the screen.
Well, no, wait. Never mind.
Okay, yes, I know what you're trying to say. Right, so they had just missed the sorting. Ron asks what that was all about, and he starts to explain, but then Dumbledore starts to speak. Pretty much the only thing he says is that there are Dementors. They're at every entrance, so don't try and leave because, well, they're not going to listen to you, blah, blah, blah. And they cannot be fooled by tricks, disguises, or even invisibility cloaks.
Harry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Harry. Right. Harry. Yeah. Harry. Harry, don't get
doesn't
any
call him out by name, but that's basically what he's saying. But
I,
then
I don't
on,
think anyone else in the right. school has an invisibility cloak.
I don't
cloak.
Think so either. That's why we know he's talking to Harry. So on a happier note, there are two new teachers, which everyone's surprised by that. So first, Lupin defends against the dark arts teacher, and Ron says to look at Snape. And yes, his face, it was his expression, it was beyond anger. It was loathing.
That definitely seems like Snape.
Yep. And it's just kind of makes everyone else smile.
Yep.
So the other one, he says he's sorry to tell them that Professor Kettleburn, our care of magical creatures teacher, has retired at the end of the last year to enjoy more time with his remaining limbs. How many limbs has Professor Kettleburn lost?
And why?
How?
How and why? Well, I suppose
well,
it's
I'm
kind of
assuming
the same.
It's because of the magical creatures. Does that mean that they're actually Professor Kettleburn was not a very good teacher or not a very good handler of
the
creatures?
Or were the creatures they were dealing with dangerous?
Well, I'm assuming yes for that part. The rest of it, yeah. We don't know. But I do think that's a funny note. Yeah, so Hagrid is going to take on that position in addition to his gamekeeping duties. So,
I know
there
we had a conversation about this, but what does the gamekeeper do?
Yes, he sure does. He keeps all of the game. You know,
elaborate?
And when he's first introduced in the first book, when we first meet
him. Gamekeeper and keeper of keys.
Does he even say gamekeeper? I thought it was just keeper of keys.
Keeper of keys at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
We'll have to go back and look, but I don't remember them saying gamekeeper. Maybe he does.
I don't know.
But
I know he says keeper of keys.
Okay. We
still
won't
don't
get
know
into
what
that
means either.
All right. So this is where Ron says, we should have known who else would have assigned us a biting book.
Yeah.
Which, yes, it's
yeah,
pretty amazing.
That makes sense.
Right. So after the feast, the trio goes up and say congratulations to him. And then they go back to the tower. The new password is Fortuna Major.
Oh,
and
no, says Neville Longbottom, yes, sadly. He always has trouble. He always had trouble remembering the password.
And that's not going to be an easy one for him to remember. So
Fortuna
that,
Major.
Isabel, is the end of the chapter. So now it is time for us to rename this chapter. Ready, set, go. Nine hours later.
We're not in SpongeBob, Dad.
You did that to me like three episodes ago.
I know.
And I got you back.
Okay.
That was actually really funny when you did it. It was perfect timing. So let's see. Rename the chapter. What happened?
Oh, wait. I think I got one. So Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 5. The defense against the dark arts teacher that actually knows stuff.
Not bad. Let's see. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 5. The train ride where Harry passes out.
And is saved by a professor who knows stuff.
There we go. That works. All right. That is it for this chapter. And we'll be back in Chapter 6.
See ya.
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Potter Chat Podcast. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at Potter Chat Podcast. We are on Instagram, Potter Chat Podcast, or on Twitter, Potter_podcast. You can also join the discussion in our Facebook group. Just search for Potter Chat Podcast, or you can email us hello@potterchatpodcast.com. If you want any bonus content, you can support the show at patreon.com/podcast. Potter Chat. All of those links are in the show notes for this episode. Anything else to add here, Isabel?
See you next week, I guess. Sure, whatever, I guess. See ya.
Bye.
See ya, kids.